This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Many Chicagoans are looking for an affordable home, and it's tough. It's estimated that Chicago faces a shortage of about 150,000 housing units. So the city tried out two pilot programs to explore ways for Chicagoans to buy and rent homes at a fraction of the cost. One focuses on modular homes, and the other on accessory dwelling units, or granny flats. To learn more about the future of these options, I spoke with Tim Swanson, founder of Inherent, the company building modular homes being placed around the city. Bob Palmer, policy director at Housing Action Illinois, a Chicago housing advocacy organization, and Alex Nitkin, government finance and accountability reporter at Illinois Answers Project. Bob started by describing the affordable housing crisis right now.
There's a huge shortage, well over 100,000 units deficit for affordable housing. But we need all types of affordable housing. We need affordable ownership. We need affordable rental. Every type of community from Edgewater down to the east side and the west side needs affordable housing. And I know we're here today to talk about the ADUs. I think one of the good things about the ADU ordinance is that it's going to increase the housing supply, and the housing that gets created, I think, is largely going to reflect community needs, whether that's for conversions, new backyard ADUs, ownership housing, varying levels of affordability.
So I quoted there, Alex, at the top, that this shortage of 150,000 homes. Why did we get there? What's going wrong? I know you've been covering this extensively.
Oh boy, that's a really big question.
We've got all day. Go ahead.
is there such a crisis of affordable housing? I think that one reason, I will say specifically, you know, kind of relevant to this conversation about accessory dwelling units, is that the city of Chicago, through zoning, has made it increasingly difficult over the last, I would say, 70 to 90 years to build more housing. And so this is, you know, a phenomenon that we've seen across the country and to a more significant degree on the coasts, certainly. But the idea of demand for housing is increasing. There are increasing jobs, increasing opportunities, and through layers of zoning codes, most significantly in 1957, I would say, when the city of Chicago made coach houses and conversion units, or ADUs, illegal, was a huge moment for capping the ability for that supply to meet the demand that has just increased. And so partially as a result of that, there is just, you know, a larger and larger number of people competing over a stable, or in some cases, because of deconversions, even decreasing number of units. And it's just really, really driven up costs.
Yeah. Before I get Tim to talk to us about some modular homes, because I'm super fascinated, Alex, I want you to just kind of give us a brief overview of these two pilot programs that the city's implemented.
So I can talk about the ADU pilot ordinance, which has been in effect since 2021. This is, you know, going back 7 years ago, when under the Mayor Rahm Emanuel's administration said, basically, as part of our affordable housing, you know, policy, why don't we just undo that 1957 prohibition? It seems like an easy win. That was before they came to the city council and said that we will be able to build, you know, you'll be allowing this new type of home by right without getting a zoning change. In other words, without permission from the individual alderman. Guess who didn't like that? So basically, the compromise at the time was we will allow the construction of these ADUs in five specific pilot zones, two on the north side, one on the west side, two on the south side. Since then, about between 300 and 350 have been permitted. I say permitted because Certainly many fewer of those have actually been built. We don't know exactly how many because of financial, you know, burdens. But essentially now, supporters of that have come back to the city council and said, listen, it's time. We've tried it. We've done the pilots. We've cities all over the country have been doing this for years and years and years. It's time for us to get on board. And so the mayor has gotten behind a sort of compromise ordinance to expand their allowance of construction of ADUs across the city with some caveats and restrictions. And it literally just minutes ago advanced out of the city council zoning committee. And so
can we have ADUs now, or
if the city council passes it and then you apply for the necessary permits through the Department of Housing and the Department of Building, and you get your administrative adjustment for parking and on and on and on and on. But
we're getting closer.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah. I mean, today was a big step. It passed the zoning committee, which is something it couldn't do for years and years. That was a huge step.
Yeah. We're also here to talk about the first set of modular homes they opened as part of a Cook County pilot program to boost home ownership. Tim, you're part of this. Break it down for us by first telling us what modular homes are, in case I've lost some people already.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, and what's modular what?
Yeah, right. So really what that means is building in a controlled environment. We're blessed to be one of a couple of companies here in Chicago that are focused on addressing this housing need. And oftentimes we talk about modular as the answer, right? The solution is that we've built them in a factory. And it's also much larger than that, right? So these are insanely high performance. They're all electric smart homes. They're the kind of homes we want our neighbors to live in. Mm-hmm. But that's one of many pieces. And this pilot with Cook County is understanding that it takes land, it takes finance, it takes permitting and local administrative approval.
Yeah.
And it takes bringing families along, working class families who never thought they had a chance for home ownership, into that path. And so it is this larger story around coming together to bring all these pieces so that we can build more and build better.
So you're putting together a home in a factory. How long does that take?
Yeah. So,
and how many parts is that? Is it like in three pieces?
Yeah.
Like stack, stack, stack?
So they're two story homes. So, actually this morning we delivered a home, we call it planting. So we planted a home in West Humboldt Park. The first floor rolled out of the factory at about 8:30 in the morning. And when I say it rolls out, the counters, the cabinets, the tile, light
fixtures.
Like
completely done.
Completely done.
Wow.
At 10 o'clock, the second floor rolled out. And then at 11 o'clock, the roof rolled out. And then
what do you do? Just glue it together?
That's exactly. It kind of bolts and goes together. The brick goes on, the siding goes on.
Yeah, I'm imagining little Lego pogs.
That's exactly.
That is literally what our producers are. It's tickling our producers in the back right now.
That's right.
they're talking about
Lego blocks. And the lot that this home went on has been vacant for almost four decades, right? So it's been a municipally owned vacant lot for four decades. This pilot is a dozen homes along two stretches of two block areas in West Humboldt Park. And so it's seeing that sort of immediate reinvestment and seeing neighbors that saw long blighted blocks turn into family ownership is pretty powerful.
Yeah. So Tim, you know, listening to this, I'm thinking of the fact that the homes are available to people who they make up to $115,000. How can these people go about buying the homes? Tell us more about the process behind the scenes here.
So the process behind the scenes here is we work with, whether it's the city or the county, we work to make certain they're income eligible. And that's really important. There's covenanting that comes in with some down payment assistance. And so depending on whether they go on city lots or on Cook County lots, they can receive up to $100,000 of forgivable down payment assistance. And then specifically in West Humboldt Park, through a collaborative that we're a part of, we offer a 3.5% mortgage too. And so it's aligning all those pieces and walking that family. We have a teammate on our side that walks families from the idea of owning a home into you're ready, you're qualified, you have everything done. And so some of our families, they're immediately ready.
Yeah.
Some of our families, it maybe takes 3 or 4 months. Some of our families are sort of on a 1 year credit improving, HUD counseling, getting them ready to go.
There must be a wait list for this, right?
There is,
You've got to have a lot of people expressing interest.
So we have a lot of people expressing interest, and we know that for a lot of people, it takes a lot of work to get there. And so it's coming alongside folks, which is really important to make certain that we can close those gaps, the finance gaps, the housing gaps, and get them to home.
Yeah. So these are in areas where half the households have incomes 60% below the median gross income, or they have poverty rates of 25% or more. There's no income limit. Why is that, Bob?
Well, I think
how is this going to benefit people?
Right. Well, I think obviously we need to create more affordable housing, but we just need to create more housing in general, regardless of what the costs are.
Yeah.
And so I think an important thing about the discussion we're having today is it's really about increasing the housing supply. And it is about affordability, but it's about so much more. It's about creating economic investment in communities for ADUs. It's about creating income for homeowners so they can, from the rent they collect, so they can pay their property taxes and do savings. It's about allowing families to age in place, to allow, you know, the grandmother to be at home instead of in a nursing home or moving out of state. And it's about, you know, making sure that Chicago and Illinois have vibrant, growing communities that can compete with other places in the country.
Mm-hmm. Where will the next homes be placed?
Yeah, so the next homes are going all across Homan Square, North Lawndale, the west side. And then we're also working with faith leaders on the south side, too.
Working your way around the city.
Yes, ma'am.
So we've had a lot of talk, Alex, lately about these granny flats. You were on the show a couple of weeks ago. Remind us what they are exactly. When we say granny flats, we're talking about what? Some additional property for your mother or your father to move in and have intergenerational living.
That's one potential. Yeah, that's one selling point.
Is that like the most common use?
Not necessarily the most common, but basically we're talking about two different sort of categories when we say ADUs. There are coach houses, which is like a little house behind the main house, bigger house, which they're all over the place. They're in Chicago everywhere. You've probably seen them, but they were built before they were banned in 1957. Then you have what is actually a lot more common and what is, you know, easier to build and has been rolled out much more as part of this pilot ordinance, which is what's called conversion units, which is basically just when you take unused basement or attic space, usually basement space, and you just convert it into a garden apartment. You convert it into a basement apartment. And so both of them are really just ways to use kind of existing space in sort of generally lower density single family home or like two flat, three flat, six flat kind of neighborhoods, and just adding like another unit here, another unit there, another unit there, as opposed to, you know, getting a big subsidy to build like a 60 unit building that has to go through all of this rigmarole and income requirements and eligibility and all of that. This is just most often what you call naturally occurring affordable housing, that because, you know, anyone who's ever looked for an apartment in Chicago knows that garden units are less expensive than
they are
above ground units, that if you have more of those units, they're going to be naturally, without needing any subsidy, going to be renting it at lower rents. Since that's sort of the promise of this program, is without spending a dime, just by lifting a regulation, you'll be able to create more affordable housing across the city.
Yeah, and there was a similar pilot program back in 2021.
So the pilot program was just in those five pilot zones that I mentioned, right? And that, technically, it never ended. That's still what is on the books
right
now.
It's like a rolling, okay, gotcha.
So that's still what's on the books right now. If this citywide legalization ordinance passes, then that would be the new version. But as of right now, you can still, if you live in one of those five pilot zones, you can still do it. If you live outside of a pilot zone, you can also do it. You just have to apply for a zoning change with your alderman, which is extraordinarily time intensive and expensive. And that's all on top of, you know, what we haven't even talked about, which is the really significant expense of building one of these things and like getting...
How much does it cost?
So, oh boy, off the top of my head, I believe, and Tim can probably correct me on this, but I think that the general cost for building a coach house is somewhere between $200,000 and $300,000. Building a conversion unit is between $50,000 and $100,000. Mm. So it's
Tim
real
is
money.
Nodding. I think you're correct.
Yeah,
excellent.
Correct.
Love to hear that. So, and the real challenge for this has been getting loans, right? Like if you're going to build something, you go to a bank and you get a loan. And a real challenge for a lot of folks has been they go to, you know, we talked to the family in our story that we read about this in IllinoisAnswers.org. They went to the bank and they were like, I want a loan to build an ADU. And the bank was like, what? Like, what is that? And so there are just not a lot of avenues for lending. There are so many other conversations that other cities are having around like, okay, how can we actually juice the construction of these things through things like public grants or opening access to more kinds of lending or further deregulation? But in Chicago, we're still stuck on the very, very first question of should they even
can
be allowed?
Exactly. Can they happen or not? So, Bob, we know the mayor Some aldermen, even the governor, our past mayor, they're pushing for ADUs to be legalized citywide, statewide. Give us some of the positives and negatives.
Well, as I said, it's, you know, the affordability is one component, and often the conversation just kind of stops there. So again, but, you know, it's about creating jobs, creating income for owners, allowing families to age in place, making sure the state can maintain and grow its population and its economy. And that's what we really think it should focus on. And again, with this ADU ordinance that the city is hopefully going to vote and approve tomorrow, there are some affordability components, but it's really about increasing the housing supply and local owners being able to decide what their needs are.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some, I listened to the hearing today, I think we all listened to the hearing today, there was some opposition. A challenge is that in Chicago and in the rest of the state, we have a very strong tradition of local elected official control or local government control over zoning decisions.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of evidence that just historically, for the challenges that the city and the state has had in terms of population growth, sluggish economy, lack of housing supply of all different kinds, affordable and market rate, that real emphasis and focus on the aldermanic prerogative and just local governments having very restrictive zoning is mm-hmm. a major obstacle that we need to address in terms of our public policy.
Yeah, the aldermen, they've really been able to sort of to drive this conversation. Another piece, Alex, is the fact that most of the ones that were built are on the north side, from what
That's
I
right.
understand, right? We know, though, the housing crisis is affecting most often folks on the south and west sides. So why are there so many roadblocks just to get these ADUs built in the areas where we need them the most? It sounds like a no-brainer, but what's like? Why are we stuck?
It's a really good question. I think that as for why there were, I think more than 90% of the units that have been built in the pilot zone were in one of those, either the north or the northwest side zone.
Yes.
One of the reason is just because of economics. That's where a lot of the demand is for new housing right now, and that's where developers have just sort of like made the calculation that they can afford it. That is the other thing. If for the homeowners, those are the neighborhoods where people can afford to add another unit. And without this additional lending or grant programs by the city, that's where it's going to go. There's mm-hmm. another really significant regulatory barrier that, again, because of the sort of the city council politics in order to get this passed, the west and south side zones had some additional restrictions, including that you can only build an ADU in one of those zones if you live in the unit, if it's an owner-occupied unit. You know, there was actually, I was going back and watching the sort of hearing last year, the sort of 3 years coming back, and Alderman Pat Dowell, on the near south side, was saying, like, I'm really of two minds about this program. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, on the one hand, I really like how, you know, you have these restrictions to make sure that you don't have these outside developers coming in and that only owner-occupied ADUs are being built.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I'm really concerned about why the north side has been getting so many ADUs.
Yeah.
And it's like those two things are related to each other, you know?
Exactly.
So
interesting.
Yeah, it's all kinds of reasons.
Any future, Tim, of Inherent helping out and building some granny flats too?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a couple projects focused on this right now. And I want to double tap what was said. What's fascinating, again, investing in the South and West Side requires people investing in the South and West Side, right? And so whether it is getting financing for a ADU or whether it is replacing vacant lots with land, a lot of the creativity comes with a willingness to fund these types of projects. We know the need is there, right, Bob? But we also have to finance and make certain that we can build to the demand that we see.
Speaking of need, do you need more factory workers?
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yes, that's exactly right.
For your modular homes, because I mean, they are creating job opportunities.
That's right. So we have 35 full-time W-2 employees in North Lawndale right now, the vast majority of which this is their first trade job they've ever had.
Wow.
And all can afford the homes they're building, right? So it's this logic of training up another generation and making certain that we are living in an equitable and a thriving environment too. And so we are we continued it. I think we added 3 employees this week, which is wonderful to see that
that's
sort
great.
Of impact.
That's great. You know, the goal here, another of the many goals here is to create more homes and ultimately, I think, help build generational wealth, right? There are certain pockets of the city where you just don't get to see that. So how are these programs helping us to get to that piece?
Well, as you just pointed out, you know, in terms of generational wealth, the parts of our population here in Chicago, our community here in Chicago that have the biggest challenge with that historically are Black households because they haven't had full access to home ownership. They've been more subject to like foreclosure. During the foreclosure crisis, like 15 years ago, those foreclosures were mostly happening in Black communities. So again, the ADU ordinance that is being was voted on today is just one really relatively small way to help try and redress that and help families, stay together, but build more generational wealth. And again, it's particularly maybe even on the South Side, there might be even more momentum or in lower income communities where maybe they can't afford to build a coach house in back of their house, but they could afford within like an existing 3 or 4 flat to put in another rental unit in there or maybe turn an illegal unit into a legal unit. And again, that's going to benefit, hopefully, ideally, the local owner, the homeowner, or other local resident.
Yeah, and thinking of just a statewide solution to the issue, I know that Governor Pritzker's obviously been doing what he can. In last year, he signed an executive order, right, and he created a new position, the Illinois Director of Housing Solutions. Can you tell us more?
Yes. Yeah, so I understand that position has just been filled, so I'm not quite sure what the person is up to yet. But it was part of a task force that included a broad range of interest groups from the realtors to affordable housing advocates to people interested in economic development who are looking at a whole range of potential solutions to create more really workforce housing or what sometimes is called middle housing. So that's going on. And then in the General Assembly session that just completed, there are legislative proposals, a variety of legislative proposals to allow ADUs statewide to make sure that we don't have communities where the only thing you can have is a really big, 5,000 or 6,000 square foot lot with a big single family home on it that's very expensive.
Yeah.
We need to be promoting and creating a wider range of housing options in all of Illinois' communities.
Yeah. So speaking of sticking with our topic today, modular homes and ADUs, I want to hear from all three of you. Are they long-term solutions here? Tim, you first.
Yeah, I'll start with the fact that North Lawndale was where the Sears catalog homes were produced 100 years ago.
Wow.
So we actually got this right in this city just about a century ago, and it's time to get back to it. They're not the only solutions, though. It is as much housing as we can build is really important. So it's important to build more housing. It's important to make certain that the housing that we're building is high quality so that it can last for generations. To your point, it only creates generational wealth if the house can last long enough to be passed on or to be shared. And so I see that I'm very bullish on Chicago and the Midwest in general for these types of solutions because we are communities and we are cities that need more housing stock, more of that middle housing stock. We have to rebuild the middle housing stock and the middle class simultaneously.
Yeah. And modular homes, they're lasting. They're long lasting.
They're long lasting.
People might think, oh, you're putting this together in a factory.
No, like, yeah. You know. So for us, the homes that we build far exceed Chicago code, energy code. They're near passive house. They are building for a future generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex, what comes to mind here? Long-term, these ADUs?
I think that even the most gung-ho proponents of ADUs will tell you that it is not it's not a silver bullet. It's not even probably a major solution, but it's something. To put it in context, it's hard to imagine that even in the sort of wildest best-case scenario of ADUs being built, it's really hard to see a scenario where maybe a couple thousand units are being built every year. Mm-hmm. You said it at the top, we're talking about 150,000 units that are needed in the city of Chicago. So it's something I think that a lot of folks are optimistic that it would make a dent, but even the biggest proponents talk about it as sort of like one tool in the tool belt that if the city wants to really get serious, it might have to consider much, much more subsidy from all levels of government to build more affordable housing and probably more significant, you know, zoning deregulation to build more market rate housing as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the ideas are endless, but ADUs are just sort of one step.
Yeah, one step. What do you think, Bob?
Well, I agree with both my fellow guests. I would say this is crucially important, though, because this is one solution, mm-hmm. particularly the ADUs, that really doesn't require the state or city government or federal government to come up with more money to pay for it. It's something you just have to kind of unleash the market, you know, unleash administrative restrictions.
Like, let us do it. Take the shackles off.
Let us
build what we can build.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is one better than the other? I see that even just choosing to respond to the question, you kind of leaned more on ADUs than the modular homes.
Well, I was just thinking in terms of the fiscal impact. Mm-hmm. The modular homes support that too. Again, we need many tools in the toolbox, as often gets said. So yeah. they're all needed.
Then are you biased on the flip side there, Tim? The modular is better?
I certainly have a bias towards modular, but it's in service to housing.
They're also not mutually exclusive, right?
That's
We're
right.
talking about sometimes modular homes can become granny flats.
Yeah. All the homes that we build right now include in-law suites in them for that exact reason, because we know that multi-generational housing is how so many Chicagoans afford homes.
Yeah. Well, so if folks want to come and work with you, where should they go?
Yeah, they can go check out inherenthomes.com or visit us at any of the community events that we host across Humboldt Park and Garfield Park.
Great discussion, gentlemen. We've been talking with Bob Palmer, who's a policy director at Housing Action Illinois, Tim Swanson, founder of Inherent, and Alex Nitkin with the Illinois Answers Project. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Gina Montagna, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Sienna Greaves. To stay in the loop, consider subscribing so that you never miss an episode. You can also check out past conversations at wbez.org/reset. Thanks so much for listening. We'll meet again soon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.